Okay, so this is Allison Seiler here with JM on March 5th, 2019 at the Eisenhower Library for our first generation college student oral history interviews. So just to get started, if you could tell me where you were born and maybe a little bit about your family.
Well, I was born in New York City. I've lived there pretty much the entirety of my life until I came to Hopkins. And both of my parents are New Yorkers as well. And neither of them went to college. I think they primarily just finished high school. There are members of my family who have attended college, like my aunt and my brother, though I think he did complete his year recently. And I'm not sure what else to say.
Yeah, okay. So do you want to talk a little bit maybe about what your parents did when you were growing up for their jobs or anything like that?
Okay, so my dad's disabled, and he's been that way since I was a little girl, so most of the time I was being raised by my dad. And then as I like transitioned into being older, I got to spend more time with my mom, which was good, to the point where I love hanging out with my mom now. She like visits me once a month here in Hopkins, so much fun. And well, there was like an awkward, like a difficult situation in my life when there was a fire in my father's apartment, which like led to a pretty like sharp transition in my life. Especially in terms of how I interact with my family and being able to see them on a regular basis. They're all fine right now. I just like, it's important to talk about because it did shape a lot of like who I am as a person and why even that I chose to go to Hopkins. And things they did that were like really helpful for me growing up was in New York City, there's a school called Horace Mann, and they have this summer preparatory program called Summer on the Hill. And I did that for 6 years, I would say. Yeah, 6 years. And so it was pretty much what I got to do. Instead of going to camp, I went to Summer on the Hill. And it was fun because it was like getting me ahead academically, but also we got to do a lot of cool things. Like I didn't learn how to swim, but they had the opportunity to swim. Like tennis, we got to go on field trips to this outdoor camp called John Doerr. Theater, there was a lot of stuff that we got to do, and some of my best friends were in that program too, so I'm like grateful that I had that opportunity and it helped like propel me forward.
Great. That's a really useful thing. So it sounds like both your parents really knew that education sort of held a key in some way. Could you talk maybe about maybe how you talked about education with your parents or like what they advocated for?
I think what my parents primarily advocated for was me doing whatever was interesting to me. It was a program that the teacher had brought to my dad's attention, and my mom was like skeptical about it just because my mom's skeptical of change just to begin with. So she's always like wary when I'm like trying something completely new. But my dad's like 100%, like, you're telling me my daughter's gifted, we're gonna go for it. He's that braggy kind of dad. So I went for it, and I love it. And they've been that way for a lot of other things that I've done throughout my life. Like, my dad's always been like, if this makes you happy, I'm going to let you do it, and I'm going to support you the entire time. My mom's always a little more cautious and skeptical, but it's always good because she provides me with, like, a different perspective to, like, think about. Like, she's providing me, like, the early opposition, I would guess. And it's like, if I'm really, like, willing to fight her on this topic, that means I really want to do it. And for all the things that I've done, I have, and they've really been beneficial to me, so I'm glad that my mom provided, like, I don't want to say, like, opposition. It sounds so weird, but it's kind of the
maybe
truth.
Maybe balance.
Balance, but, yeah.
Okay. So could you talk a little bit more about your experience growing up in New York and maybe, you know, your high school and maybe expand a little bit on the program that you mentioned earlier?
Okay, so I'm a true New Yorker at heart. Like, I still argue with my boyfriend about which is better, New York or Baltimore, and he's just constantly a pain in my butt about it. And I think being a New Yorker has shaped who I am completely because New York is an extremely diverse place. I've grown up with people who were Hispanic, who were from the Middle East, who were white, who were Asian. So I've gotten to meet and interact with a lot of different people. So I think that like made me like really comfortable with just all people from all cultures and all backgrounds, and I didn't like ever feel awkward when I went into a new situation. And then I think New York is just like such a different kind of place. I don't really know how to explain it. It's just that there's so many like opportunities available to people that it's like hopping into one is like super easy, but also like really challenging because you're like, you have to pick, is this the right one for you? So it takes a lot of thought process to go into it. And I guess when Horace Mann was when I was like super young, I was like second grade. So my dad basically made the decision for me. Though he said like I came out of the like pre-screening test like super calm, like everyone else was panicking. I was just like, yeah, I finished, so what? that was like the best part of like living in New York, just being exposed to so many different things. Though the sad part about me being a New Yorker is that I have not been to so many places in New York. It's like most New Yorkers don't go to Times Square, Statue of Liberty, Empire State Building. I work down the street from the Empire State Building for the past 2 years when I'm in New York, and I have not been. But that's pretty normal.
You stay in your neighborhood, sort of.
I'm a homebody, so like I really don't like to do too much stuff outside unless someone tells me like we're gonna go do this, and I'm like, okay, that's totally fine. But otherwise, I'm like, I'm good. I'm gonna stay in the house. I'm gonna read. I'm gonna watch TV. I'm gonna relax because most of my days are super busy. I went to high school at High School of American Studies, and that's a specialized high school in New York. And there's a special test you have to take to get in. And people were telling me, oh, you should have a backup school, like a non-specialized high school. And I was like, nah, I'm going to American Studies. It's the end of the discussion. I got in, and I love that school, and I still like go back and visit it a lot because of the fact that the people there were like really fun and like really quirky. Like even my teachers were like, I miss them as much as I like miss the people there. Mm-hmm. And sorry.
You're fine.
And then it was also like pretty heavily intensive in terms of like education and like schoolwork, to the point where my mom like complained about it a lot, how much homework I was doing. But I think it was beneficial because I came into Hopkins and I wasn't overwhelmed by it. I thought it was like pretty on level with like how much work I had to do at American Studies, and like here I got to like pick my own schedule. So if I didn't want to do like 6 classes a day, I didn't have to. I mean, 3 classes a day still feel like 6 classes a day, honestly, but I can like adjust my schedule as I wish. And the teacher there, Mr. Mansdorf, was the reason I came to Hopkins. I applied there pretty much on a whim, just because I was like, well, if I get in here, then I want to go to grad school here. And I got in, got pretty much of a full ride, and I wasn't sure because I wanted to stay in New York, because that really is my comfort zone. But Mr. Mansdorf was like, no, you need to do this. This is a fantastic school for you to go to, and I don't want you to like stay inside your own bubble. I want you to go out and like expand who you are. And I was like, okay. Also, Columbia didn't accept me, so that was also the reason. So I came down here having only been to Baltimore on trips. Like, I didn't even come and tour the campus before I got here. Mm. I came in, and it was the best decision I made. So I owe Mr. Mansdorf, like, a lot when I graduate. Like, I'm sending him a thank you letter. Like, thank you so much for, like, making sure I actually went here.
Yeah. That sounds like you had the sort of right self-motivation, but also some good supporters in your high school career, too. So can you talk a little bit about being the first person in your college to go to college, first in your immediate family going to college, and maybe your family's reaction when you were accepted to Hopkins?
So it was definitely difficult just because of the fact that I wasn't the most proactive when it came to like applying to colleges. I like really applied just before the deadline for most of the colleges I applied to. And I've just been that way with like big changes in my life. So I kind of learned to accept that about myself, trying to change it, but it's just a fact about who I am. But my parents have been supportive, but also like same issue that they brought in when I was like going to Horace Mann. My dad was like super excited, like really braggy, like whenever the acceptance letters came in, he was just running around the house like, I accepted into this. And it's just like, oh my God, Dad. So he was like super excited about it and was just pretty much open to it. He wasn't like super hands-on in the application process. And my mom didn't want to be hands-on in the application process, but then like she ended up being that way to the point of like annoying me, because it was like my senior year was really tiring and really stressful. And I was like, Mom, I'm trying to finish my homework. Please do not ask me about questions about college right now. I need to get this homework done first, essentially. And my dad was super excited when I got into Hopkins because he wanted me to go to Syracuse so he could like go to the basketball games. But he was excited that I got into Hopkins and they gave me a lot of money. My mom was like very like against, I wouldn't say against it, just like very uncomfortable with it. Mm. And I primarily think that's because my two other siblings live in a different state than my mom. So my like sister lives in Philly and my brother was in Texas up until recently. So I think she just didn't want like her last child to like be so far away from her. And like she was also just worried about what would happen, especially because I entered Hopkins the semester after the Baltimore uprising. Mm-hmm. So they were like super worried about my safety. But eventually I like convinced my mom, I was like, no, I'm gonna do this and you can't change my mind about it. I appreciate your concern, but this is what I wanted to do. And eventually she got behind it and now she's like fully team Johns Hopkins to the point where she says to me randomly like, oh, you're growing up so much, like that Johns dude is doing such a good job with you. And it's just like, because I'm learning how to adult, I suppose.
She's fully embraced the Johns Hopkins experience, I see.
Yeah, she loves it. And she loves being able to come down here. Like, my best friends are now, like, her kids, as far as she's concerned. And she'll text them in the morning, as well as me. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's really great. Okay, that is sort of a great segue to the next question is, could you describe your first few weeks of undergraduate, you know, the transition to moving to Baltimore, and maybe about your living situations that you've had either on campus or off campus?
Okay, so I'm gonna say that my first transition in Hopkins was super hectic, primarily because like even my first day was just stressful. Like, we were supposed to have a rental van to, like, drive me down. That got messed up, and it was, like, we were supposed to leave, like, early in the morning. We didn't get to leave till late afternoon, and then we had to use, like, our van instead of a rental van, which, like, none of us wanted to do. So we traveled down, and then my family had a fight, like, in my dorm room the first day, and I kicked them out. I was like, I can't do this with you people right now. Like, you're stressing me out, and this is not about you guys. It's about me. So please take this out of my space, especially because I was in a shared space. So I like didn't know when my roommate was coming back either. So I was like, I want her to come in, see my family like losing their minds right now. So that was my first day at Hopkins. And being a freshman was difficult for me, not academically, but because of like socially. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know is from New York and I don't have any family in Baltimore. So, and I didn't have any friends who applied here either like my year or previously, so I was pretty much by myself. And I'm a person that I like thrive with my family. I'm a person that like in high school, I used to hug people as I walked down the hall to the point where my friend Reshma for like an entire year did not hug me because I hugged her too much. She's like, I need a break from you. And it's like, but I love hugs. So it was hard for me not having people like that. Eventually I did find a group of people in my major who are like my best friends now. So I was glad to finally get in that social circle and have those friends that I needed to like emotionally survive here. And then in terms of like my living situations, freshman year, I lived in a double in AMR 2. So basically like a room, I wouldn't say much bigger than this, that I shared with another girl who it was completely random because obviously I didn't know anybody in Hopkins. And she was cool. Like, we weren't the kind of people that would have been friends if we weren't put together in the same kind of environment, especially because we were super opposite in terms of our sleeping habits, our eating habits. So that was caused some tension. And then after that, I was like, well, I'm not doing that again. So I moved into McCoy, and even though I was in a triple, my room was the single. So it was like, I have my own room where I don't have to interact with people if I don't want to. Which was good. I needed that own retreat. And living with roommates is always like crazy hectic, as you can imagine, because you always have different personalities and it's like stupid things will cause issues. Like my roommate in sophomore year, she was a vegan and she like cooked all her own food. But that meant that she filled up the fridge with every single thing that she had to cook. And it was like, even though I don't cook for myself like that, I do want fridge space. So it was like always irksome to come in. And then it's like, we had two fridges. They were full. So stupid things like that make you really upset when you have roommates. And then junior year, I transitioned to living in my own apartment. I live in the Marylander, and I live in the studio. And it was good for me because it's like not too much money, and it was like a decent sized space. I have my own walk-in closet, which was like, yes, I love clothes. So yes to my walk-in closet. But then like soon after like me being there, my dad had the situation where he got evicted. Mm. And he had to live with me for like 2 months. And I offered that to him. I like was like, Dad, you can come down here and stay with me. And that was fun, but also hella stressful. It was a studio apartment, good square footage, but not big enough for my dad's personality. And then I was just starting dating, like, for the first time also. So it was like all of a sudden I was like back in high school. It was like, it's ridiculous. I'm a junior in college and it's like dating is hard now because my dad's here. He left after 2 months, and then my boyfriend actually moved in with me pretty soon after. And we've been living together for almost 2 years. Oh, my God.
Time flies.
Yeah, time flies. And it's been good. It's definitely strange living in an apartment because there's bills to take care of. There's utilities. You have to worry about if your plumbing's messed up at the moment. You have to know who to talk to. And so that's like really stressful, but I'm glad to have him with me for this whole part of it, though he makes me crazy, as you can possibly imagine.
It's the whole adulting thing.
Yeah, adulting is not fun.
Okay, great. It's really interesting to hear all about the different sort of transitions that you've had. So when you got to Hopkins, did you meet any other you mentioned you had some friends within your cohort from your major, but did you meet any other students that were first generation college students, or is that not something you've encountered?
So the thing is, I don't even know if they are first generation, and which is funny because I know their family, I just don't know if their family went to college. A bunch of my friends are minorities, which is good. Like, my friends Justin and Rafa are black. Maya, who, like, I walked past when I was coming up here, she's black. My friend Anna is Peruvian. And then I have a group of people who are, like, also Hispanic and Asian. So I have, like, a diverse group of friends, which was super important for me. But then I don't know if they are first generation. I know that we're all, like, struggling with the college life and pretty much at the same rate, even if, like, I'm the only one that's first generation. But they've been, like, super supportive, and it's good to have someone who's on your level at that moment because you can vent to them without seeming like crazy, because they're like, they understand, they're at the same point in their life. I don't know if any of them are first generation.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's a qualifier that people sort of use to identify themselves. So I think one of the important things about this interview too is to talk about your program of study. So maybe if you could describe you know, how you chose that and maybe what you see that's valuable about what your area of study.
Okay. I'm an environmental engineer. That's my major. And then my minor is classics, so like Greek mythology, Roman stuff. And I chose environmental engineering because for 3 years of my life, I worked in the parks in New York, so Van Cortlandt Park, and I got to do a lot of different things with them. I got to work on the trails. I got to do forest restoration, which means removing invasive plants. Got to run volunteer days, got to interact with donors, worked in the office to help plan events. So lots of different things that I got to do with them. And I think for me, that's like the end goal for me, even if like my career out of college isn't the parks, I want that to be like the end thing that I do. Because the parks is what started off for me and like made me happy. Like I had to get there at like 7 a.m. every morning. And I got up at 5 a.m. no problem. I was like, I didn't even want to stay in bed later because I love being there so much, even though like bugs and heat were not fun, but I loved it. So I originally was going to do civil engineering, but then I transitioned to environmental engineering because I was like, I need to come back to the park some way, somehow. And that's what I chose to do. And my first friends were in this major, and we call ourselves Enviro Squad, which is kind of funny. And so I've had 4 years with these same people who drive me insane, but it's nice that, like, I'm with them all the time, like, academically. Like, I always have somebody in my classes who I can work with, we can do homework with, study with, like, scream at the universe with. And the major is, like, isn't primarily geared to what I want to do, just because environmental engineering is such a huge field. It's geared to more water and, like, waste treatment at Hopkins. And for me, I want to do something that's more of an environmental, civil, like, combination. So like green buildings, green roofs, urban planning, landscape architecture, lots of things like that. So combination of enviro and civil engineering. So I'm finishing my year, but I really want to go into a master's program. One in DC, I have to apply. Admits doing all my homework. And that's that program is more geared to what I want to do. And I don't know what I'm going to do like after that. I want to do trade school at some point in my life as well. So I don't know exactly what my plan is out of college. And my family is like, you need to know. And I'm like, homework though.
You've got a lot of goals. It's okay to have a lot of goals. Do you have any specific professors or classes that were sort of your favorites or most memorable?
So a lot of my classics classes are memorable to me because Greek mythology is like my escape. That's like my obsession. If I thought I could do classics as like a career, which I personally don't feel like I could, then I feel like that probably would have been my major just because I love Greek mythology that much. But in terms of my environmental engineering teachers, I've had a lot of them multiple times because it's a small department. So Hedy is one of our teachers, and it's funny having Hedy as a teacher because first off, his voice sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire. So he's like soft-spoken and really nice. And he's like the nicest teacher ever, which was really good coming into Hopkins. Like he wasn't like crazy about deadlines. And if you needed time for like more understanding or help, he was 100% with it. And so I've had 3 classes by him, and I'm actually a TA for him for the past 2 semesters. So I love interacting with Hedy. He's writing my recommendation letter for graduate school. And then there are a couple other teachers that I've had that were like pretty memorable. Lynn Roberts was one of my teachers. She teaches emerging environmental issues in environmental engineering lab. Environmental engineering lab is death. It is death.
I've heard that about chemistry too.
A chem lab is 100% worse. But like orgo lab is the worst because that's 5 hours. But mine's pretty up there. We had this one lab where we were supposed to get out at like 5. We did not get out till 7. And we were all working continuously. There are 3 of us in the group working continuously, and it was that long. But like she taught us how to write a good lab report, which is important when you're an engineer. Like you're going to be doing research all the time, so you need to know how to do it properly. So even though that class caused me an exhaustive amount of stress, like I'm thankful for the skills that it taught me in terms of that. Also, she has like 3 colleagues, so and they're like in her office sometimes, so it's like cool when we go down there and like the dogs just come and sit on her feet while we're talking to her.
That's great.
A bunch of people on campus have dogs in their offices. It's like pretty normal, at least in my department it is.
That's great. Definitely cheers you up a little bit. Okay, so did you join any clubs or do any like activities on campus in your time here?
So I actually didn't, and the primary reason for that was because in high school I like really burned myself out. Like my senior year, everyone says senioritis, like you chill during your senior year. That was the exact opposite for me. I was taking 4 AP classes, I was taking college classes, I had volunteer work after school in like 2 different areas, and then I was also working on the weekends. So I like pretty much drove myself into the ground senior year. And so when I got to Hopkins, even though there were a bunch of clubs that were interesting, like music ones, dance ones, other than like auditioning like once or twice, I wasn't really trying my best to do that just because I wanted a break from it. I wanted a break from all the work that I did. And eventually what happened was that I primarily focused on my schoolwork and then working. So I've had 2 to 3 jobs the entire time that I've been working at Hopkins. So my classes and then my working has pretty much taken up my schedule. I live the club life vicariously through my friends who have way too many clubs that they're running, and they're like burning themselves out, and I'm just like, see, this is why I didn't do it. But sure, it works for some people, it just wasn't for me.
Okay. Do you want to talk about your jobs then? That would be a really neat thing to elaborate on.
Okay, so what's great about Hopkins, I don't know if all schools do this, I assume they do, is that there's a student job website which lists constantly all the jobs that are available for people to have. And that's good because like I honestly had no clue how I was gonna get a job here on campus because my job in high school was completely separate from my school, obviously. And in my first year, I worked as a gardener. And even though that was like what I wanted to do, I was the only gardener there besides my supervisor. So I stopped doing that because it was like kind of like weird for me. Like when I work with people, I like to work around people. Like I don't want to be by myself. That's too much time with my thoughts as far as I'm concerned. So I stopped doing that, and then I've been an office assistant with the anthropology department for the past 3 years. It's a pretty chill job. I make posters for colloquiums, help set those up, scan things for the teachers, just do a lot of miscellaneous stuff. And I get to sit and do my homework the majority of the time, which is pretty cool. I get paid to do my homework. So I really appreciate that. I've been a TA for 3 semesters, different TA each time. Mm. So being a TA is different depending on what class you're teaching for, because some classes require you to teach like a section. So you have to like come up with problems for them. You have to go over the material. You basically have to make a lesson plan. Some of them require you to be a grader, just grading the homeworks, and that all TA jobs require you to have office hours so people can come ask you questions. So those were extensions to my time on campus a lot. But I like being a TA. And then I've, for the past 2 years, this is ridiculous when I'm talking out loud, realizing how much stuff I've done. For the past 2 years, I've been working for Vector Marketing. Okay. And I feel like anyone who's going to hear this is going to think, oh, the knife job, it's such a scam. It really is not. It really was a transformative experience for me. Like, I sold $16,000 my first summer. Wow. I didn't think I was going to be there for more than 2 weeks. And I did it, and I was, it like brought out a lot of confidence in me because I didn't know I could do that. I'm not saying I'm at where I want to be confidence level, but it definitely helped with that. And I always credit Vector with me ending up in my current relationship because it gave me the confidence to be with him. And like, I asked for his number first, actually. So the job gave me a lot of confidence that way. And then it's also given me a lot of professional skills. Like this last summer, I worked as a branch manager, which means I had my own office. Those in New York City was a shared space, but I had like my own team that I was running. And that was hectic. I was running interviews all the time. We were running trainings that had like 100 people in it in like a small space. And then I had to keep up with my team, like make sure like, hey, how are you doing in terms of selling? How are you doing in terms of personal goals? Like, are you where you want to be? Like, what is the reason you're with Vector? Are you doing it just for money? Or do you want to do it for personal growth? Or do you want to be here longer the way I have? So I've been doing that for 2 years with them. Right now, I'm honestly on a break with them just because the last year of preparing to be branch and then being branch and then like taking and then relaxing from branch was honestly a lot. Like opening your own business at the age of 20 is a lot. So I'm like kind of detoxing from them right now, but doesn't mean that I don't love them and I don't think that I wouldn't go back to them. It's just like sometimes when you're driving yourself crazy, you gotta take a break from them, even if it's things that you love.
Those are some really, really great accomplishments. You should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you.
So speaking of that, I guess I assume that during your summers and breaks that you have worked. So maybe could you talk about going home to New York or what you did during your summers and breaks?
So for my breaks, I've just constantly been working since junior year of high school. I've like constantly had a job. So I worked for Van Cortlandt Park most of the summers and winter breaks that I was back. And then once I stopped with that, I started with Vector Marketing and I've been working for them and just seeing them. So I work during my longer breaks. Mm. So during like my summer break and my winter break. My fall and spring break, I really am only there for a week. And then I spend like half of it getting my hair redone because that's the lady who does my braids. She's in New York, so I do that. And then I try to see my family, but a week is like a really short amount of time. And I don't feel like most people realize that until they're like trying to get a lot done in it. And then you're like, holy crap, like I can't do everything I want to do. But I'm like primarily used to working. This was the first winter break, this past winter break, where I actually chilled most of the time. I actually saw people I haven't seen in 2 years. So it was, that was good for me. I was like seeing a bunch of my friends and like reconnecting and like talking to people that I missed. I came back here early because I still need money, like, of course, but it was nice to have an actual break for once. I know some, most people, like, don't do, like, workcations. That's just what I typically do.
That's good you were able to rest. So could you talk a little bit about maybe your support system while you've been in school? And that can take many different forms, whether or not, you know, it's friends, family, or anything like that, professors maybe.
So Enviro Squad are my best friends. And it's, like I said, having them for 4 years has been really helpful because we're going through the same classes with each other. And so we're with each other through the ups and the downs and the struggles of it. So they're my support system. And I feel like we all support each other very equally, to the point where my mom was confused like the past year, like, what? You're not like doing homework with Enviro Squad? Why not? And it's just like, cause our schedules are all so busy this year that it's just hard to connect the way we want to, especially once you live on off campus. Because when you live in dorms, it's like, there's only like three spaces you could possibly be in. But when you live off campus, it's like, my friend Justin lives like all the way near Shriver. And then my friend Anna lives all the way at the academy, varsity. And then I live somewhere in the middle. So it's just like not convenient travel wise either. But I think it's great because they're there academically, but they're also there for me as a person. My friend Anna is like really my best friend here. And we've like gone through a lot together. We work together. We've done school together. We've complained about the boys in our group together. And she's the person I talk to whenever I'm like really stressing out. When it's like not something that like I don't need to vent to my boyfriend about again, I like tell her, and she's like a different perspective, but also a feminine perspective, which is super important for me. And then my family is have been really supportive, especially for emotionally, because my parents know that I'm the kind of person that I'll work myself down to like burning myself out. And my dad instilled this thing in me when I was growing up called mental health days. So basically where it was like, there were days where it's like, if he could see that I was unusually stressed, he would be like, you're not going to school today. Which sounds crazy, but it was like, he did that for me to make sure that I wasn't like burning myself out on a constant basis. So that kind of taught me that it's like, there are times where you need to stop yourself. It's like, yes, this class is important. Yes, your jobs are important. But it's like, if you're like burning yourself down, then it's not going to matter in the end what all the stuff that you're doing if you're like not enjoying it or not around to enjoy it either. So I take mental health days when I need to, and I think we all do sometimes, which is also good about having friends in all your classes. They're like, they understand, it's like, I cannot be in today for XYZ, and they're like, okay, I got you with the notes, don't even worry about it. My mom has been even more supportive like the past couple years, like financially, coming down to see me. She takes me to Cheesecake Factory, which is super fun. There's like not a close Cheesecake Factory in New York, but here it's like super close. So we go enjoy macaroni balls. Those are good. You should get them.
I'll take a note for that.
Those are so good. I'm not even joking. To the point where it was like, my mom doesn't even ask me about that. She's just like, your entree. The appetizers, we know what we're getting. And then my boyfriend has also been like really supportive as well. Just because of the fact that it's like, he sees me at the end of the day. He sees what the school and like what my jobs do to me when I'm like, don't have anyone where I have to put on a facade for, I suppose. So he's the one I can be like really open with about the struggles of working, especially with Vector, because we started dating like after Vector. So he like has seen all the ups and the downs, and he has no problem being like completely open with me. Like, I think you're doing too much, or I don't think, well, I say this about his job sometimes, where it's like, I don't think they appreciate you enough. So I think we have like a good communication, a good camaraderie with that. But we're also like both trying to grow. So he's not the one person who's going to be like, oh, just do whatever. He's like, no, I'm going to push you to a good point, like not past your breaking point.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have. Is he a Hopkins student as well?
Or? No, he's not. Okay.
So I think one of the things that you touched on a little bit about, but and maybe going to Cheesecake Factory is one of these things, but could you talk about maybe how you've explored Baltimore or what your experience has been with the city?
So I definitely haven't explored it as much as I should have, primarily because I'm a homebody. I'm the kind of person that at the end of the day, and I've done a lot during the day, that I like to just relax on the weekends, unless someone's telling me we're going to go somewhere. But usually when my mom comes to visit is when I like go out into the city. I've been down to Inner Harbor. Inner Harbor is like super cool because it's like, first off, on the water, which you don't get to see much when you're in New York City, surrounding by buildings all the time. And then we love to shop, as you can imagine. So we love to do little shopping trips in Inner Harbor, get food. There's a giant Barnes & Nobles there. It's super amazing. And then Towson is another place I've been to like multiple times, another shopping center. Like to shop. And so those are places that I've been to multiple times. I haven't like explored Baltimore a lot. The only times that I've like been around Baltimore more is because me and my boyfriend are driving somewhere, and then that's allowing me to see like more of the city, especially because he's from Cherry Hill, so okay. It's like a completely different vibe from the middle of the city, especially around a college campus. So I get to see more of what Baltimore is about. But I think it's just also that I'm such a New York City person that it's like, if I can't, transportation here is trash. I'm sorry, but it is. So
it's a valid point.
Public transportation after being from New York like depresses me. So it's just not as easy if I wanted to go and do a lot of things. I think for some people it's completely different because they're not from New York City, where it's like public transportation is like, the only time we've ever had public transportation be closed was during Sandy, like the one hurricane. Otherwise, it's always running. It's always, I wouldn't say good, but it's always functional.
Consistent.
Yeah, consistent. And here it's not. So it's like, that was like a shocker for me, like to have to deal with that. Thank the Lord my boyfriend has a car. Because otherwise, I probably wouldn't go places.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, the city transition life, like moving from one city to a smaller city. Okay, so you did touch a little bit on life after Hopkins. Did you want to talk any more about that? And maybe, like, are you looking at grad school programs? Or are you going to take a gap year? You know, you can expand.
So I'm, like, super indecisive about it, just because I think that's how I am when it comes to big changes in my life. But I want to do grad school at George Washington University in D.C., primarily because it has the master's program that I would want. And also, it's close to Baltimore. I need to stay close to Baltimore because my boyfriend has a daughter. So, and I love her to death. So I want us to be able to be in her life, which is why even though there are grad schools that fit me in like other cities, it's like, no, I want to stay as close to here as I can, at least for the next 2 years, because she's like super young. So I think that's important. So that's the school that fit me, and their applications aren't due for like another month, so spring break, that's all I'm doing. And that's my main thing that I want to do. I've been to like one or two job fairs the past year, so I've been like seeing what kind of jobs are out there, and it's kind of like, it is like kind of stressful when you're applying for jobs because of the fact that it's like you want to do a certain thing and that thing may not be open to you at that moment. Like there's this joke, you like need experience to get a job and a job to get experience. So that's like super annoying and stressful to have to deal with. And my friend Anna is like way more ahead of me in terms of this. So I'm like proud of her for that. But I don't know, like I'm just not 100% certain what I'm going to do. I know where I'm going to be the next in the next year, but I don't know what exactly I'm going to be doing.
Okay. I think that's okay after a life of making big decisions and being so proactive in your own education. I think it's okay to take a moment. So I guess one of the things too I'd like to ask is, would you recommend Hopkins to other first generation students? And is there any advice that you'd give them, you know, if they were to come here?
That's an interesting question. I think Hopkins was really the best place for me. Just because of the fact that it was like the environment was right, it was still in a city. So I could not go to a rural area or a small college. I could not do that. I'm used to being around a lot of people on a regular basis. So I think this school fits me environmentally. And then also the kind of people here, it's pretty diverse. So if you want to continue to be around a lot of people who are different than you, or if you just want to be around a lot of people because you're from like a big area or you're from a small area and you think it would work for you, then I think Hopkins is fantastic. Academically, I couldn't speak on it primarily just because like each program is different. And it is a lot of work. It's Hopkins. There's no way in hell it couldn't be a lot of work. And some people are prepared for that. Some people are not. And I think in the first year of people being at Hopkins, they like realize. So I think in the first year, you can really tell like, is this academically where I want to be? Is this environmentally where I want to be? But I think those are factors for people to think a lot about. Because I didn't even come here, which is also crazy. Like, I didn't do a campus tour. But I just kind of knew what I thought would work best for me, and I did it. And in terms of being at Hopkins, the advice I would give is I would give, and I actually just did a college panel like a couple of weeks ago. Nice. So the advice I would give is to prepare yourself in high school for college. So especially if you're a first generation student, because of the fact that you're not going to have a lot of people in your immediate circle who know what college is like. Hmm. So even when you're struggling, even though they're going to be supportive, they're not going to really know how to help you in the most proactive manner because they haven't gone through it themselves. So the best thing to do would be to interact with a lot of people where you're going, and just a lot of people who have been in college who maybe aren't first generation, because then you can speak to their parents about what it's like to go to college, especially though college back then was different, definitely. And academically prepare yourself. Like, you learn yourself, learn how you study, learn, like, are you comfortable being around a lot of people when you study? I don't like that, because if I want to get mad, I want to get mad and not have people judge me. So just learn yourself and, like, learn your best way to study, because once you enter college, no one's there to, like, hold your hand. Which is good, because it's like the transition years from yourself to adulthood, so you really need to learn how to stand on your own. So I think, like, learning about yourself and learning how to be comfortable with who you are is super important when you're in high school. You're going to have time to do that in college, but there's, like, no guarantee of that, especially because you're going to be bombarded with lots of new things. So when you're, like, comfortable with who you are and your boundaries, especially when it comes to people, when it comes to partying, that whole kind of thing, I think you'll have, like, an easier transition.
Yeah, I think that's really wonderful advice.
Thank you.
So I guess, ultimately, after all your years at Hopkins, is there a way that you would maybe summarize your time here, or is there sort of an end cap you'd like to put on it?
My time here at Hopkins was extremely transformative. Like, when I think back to who I was senior year of high school, it's like I'm a definitely different person. I'm the same where it really matters, of course, but I've, like, definitely changed. I've gained a lot of confidence. I've gained a lot of experience in terms of working academically, personally. So it's definitely, like, I thank the Lord that I was able to do this. This was the best decision I made to come to Hopkins, even though it was really a scary thing for me to come to Baltimore where I don't know anybody and, like, do my experience here, but I don't regret it in any way. And the people that I met here have changed my life, and they're going to be in my wedding, to the point where my friend is like, I'm going to wear a blue dress at your wedding. This is a guy, by the way. And I'm just looking at him like, what if my colors aren't blue? And he's like, I don't see your point. But this is the kind of friends that I have now. He's crazy. So Hopkins has given me a lot, and I think my college experience is more positive than a lot of people, but also my high school experience was more positive than a lot of other people. So I just love Hopkins, though. If I could transport it into New York, I would be 1,000 times better, but it works for me either way.
Yeah. That's a really great point to end on. I've run out of questions, so I think my last thing for you, is there anything else that you'd like to add to the interview that I didn't ask, or things we didn't touch on?
So I would think that a lot of first-generation people are also minorities. Just because a lot of people who are first generation have immigrant backgrounds. They're coming from different cultures, different lifestyles, and I think it's important that when you come to a college, especially as one as big and diverse as Hopkins, is not to lose who you are or what your family stands for. You're going to grow and you're going to become an individual, but I think it's important to stay connected to your roots, because that is what brought you here and that's what shaped who you are. So if you're able to find people on campus who are similar to you, we have a lot of cultural groups on campus. We have Vivas, we have, like, Caribbean cultural groups, we have Asian cultural groups, like, a lot of different things. Broaden your horizons, but I also say surround yourself with people who understand who you are, not just from as the Hopkins student, but as a first-generation student, as an immigrant, as a black minority or something like that. Because especially in the world we're living in now, culture and, like, ethnic backgrounds are, like, super important and to the forefront. It shouldn't, like, negatively affect your life, but it's something that you must be aware of. So I think that's something that to keep in mind as a first-generation student.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, that's one of the things we're really trying to get at with these interviews, too. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, so that concludes our interview. I'm going to stop the recording.